We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne Tha God.
Wake that ass up. The Breakfast Club is on right now.
I am feeling blessed. I'm talking to the Breakfast Club this morning.
Okay.
I love coming here. I'm never not going to come here. You guys are good to me. In return, I'm always going to be good to you.
For a lot of people in the hip-hop generation, the Breakfast Club is where people get the information on the topics, on the artists, and everything like that. In that aspect, radio is still important.
The Breakfast Club.
When my name come up, respect it.
Yo. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day?
And good morning, Toronto.
We really need something in this intro to reflect that we're First Ballot Radio Hall of Famers, damn it. Okay? That needs to be a thing in our intro from now on. Right? That's how we should be presented at all times.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of my friends sent me things to my house yesterday, which was exciting. Shout out to Ernest. He sent me flowers. My friend from high school, Heidi, she sent me a bottle of Classe Azul. Everybody was just sending stuff to me yesterday, which I thought was really nice. So I appreciate that for everybody who was saying congratulations. My doorbell kept, I don't have a doorbell, so people kept banging on the door.
And let me shout out to our brother, our friend, somebody that I look at in the industry as somebody that calls on me to check up on me. I don't know if he checks up on you guys, but today is Fat Joe's birthday. Happy birthday to Joey Crack.
Fat Joe Show.
Shout to Joey Crack. Today is Joey's birthday. Happy birthday, Fat Joe. You know, we talk about the industry a lot and people in the industry, and Joe is one of those people that call and check up on me, make sure the family's good, make sure I'm good, just to say hello. A good person. So I just want to say happy birthday to the brother, Fat Joe.
There we go.
A vivid story.
What'd y'all do last night? Anything good?
Last night, I actually had to do this HBO Docs Live about the Yusuf Hawkins documentary Storm Over Brooklyn. So shout out to Unique. She has her HBO Docs Club. So I joined her on that just to talk about Yusuf Hawkins. That's he was killed. He was only 16 years old for going to a white neighborhood. He was actually just looking to go buy a used car, but they thought he was dating a white girl from the neighborhood. So they ended up surrounding him, about 30 white kids with bats, and then someone shot and killed him.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Jesus. This was, by the way, a few months after the Central Park Five in 1989.
Right. Wow. All right. Well, Charlamagne.
What, boy?
Close your eyes.
Man, shut up.
I just want to tell you guys, I'm naked right now. I rolled out of bed.
Oh, is that why you're not on Revolt right now?
That's why I'm not on Revolt right now. I didn't turn the cameras on because
that's sexual harassment.
I rolled out of bed, and it was either I was naked. So I said, man, I said, if I can't turn on the cameras right now, so I'm just going to have to just, you know, the next break, just put on a shirt or something. So
you didn't have a robe or anything?
I woke up 30 seconds ago. There was no time to grab a robe. I ran my ass downstairs, turned on the mic, and rock and roll.
I feel like you're Me Too-ing us right now. This is not right. This is the case.
This is not right.
You can't just turn on the microphone butt naked for millions of people and tell everybody you're naked. No.
This is why Dramos, who works with us, said it's going to be a good day.
That's exactly what he did. He said he feels like this would be a better show than usual. He said this
is going to be a great day, guys.
I take that back. Off to a terrible start.
I'm sure you would want to take it back. Wow. Take it back to your room, huh? Wow. Take it back to your room, then. Let's start the show, please.
This morning, we got some special guests joining us. Lovely ladies, Jamel Hill and Carrie Champion. They'll be joining us this morning.
They have a new show tonight.
They have a new show. That
premieres tonight on Vice called Stick to Sports.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we got front page news coming up. What are we talking about, Yee?
Well, let's talk about night two of the Democratic National Convention.
Boring.
All right, we'll get into that next. I'm going to throw on some clothes. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where are we starting, Yee?
Well, it was the second night of the Democratic National Convention yesterday. It started off with a 17-person keynote speech. So we saw, I guess, a roll call, and you saw different people having things to say about Joe Biden's nomination. Now, one of the highlights was Joe Biden's wife, Jill Biden, speaking. She is an educator, a longtime educator, and she closed the night with a speech from a Delaware high school classroom. Here's what she said.
I fell in love with a man and two little boys standing in the wreckage of unthinkable loss, mourning a wife and mother, a daughter and sister. I never imagined at the age of 26, I would be asking myself, how do you make a broken family whole? We found that love holds a family together. It allows us to become more than ourselves together. And though it can't protect us from the sorrows of life, it gives us refuge. How do you make a broken family whole? The same way you make a nation whole.
All right, another person who spoke was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She still seems like she's endorsing Bernie Sanders.
In a time when millions of people in the United States are looking for deep, systemic solutions to our crises of mass evictions, unemployment, and lack of health care, and out of a love for all people, I hereby second the nomination of Senator Bernard Sanders of Vermont for President of the United States of America.
You know, that's part of the process, though. Like, it's a procedure they do at all conventions. Every candidate for president who brings delegates to the convention is required to be formally nominated. But it's just confusion because AOC has such a big voice. And if you don't know that, you know, it's not good promo and marketing for Joe Biden. But she's right. Still voting for Biden, though. She just was formally nominating, you know, the person she endorsed originally, I guess. But that's part of the procedure. But I went to sleep on the DNC last night. I couldn't take it. Democrats need a rebrand. They keep suppressing their young stars like Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams got a couple minutes. AOC got like 90 seconds. Like, the Dems just come off as old. And I love Celebration by Kool and the Gang, but goddamn, can they upgrade that to Win, Win, Win by DJ Khaled? Jesus Christ. You got an old candidate for president, old songs like Celebration playing. They just come off as like really, 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 really old. And they really do suppress They're stars. They're young stars who I wouldn't even say are next because they got now to me.
All right. Now, you know, Donald Trump was talking about this huge pardon he was going to be doing today. And he was at an event that was highlighting the 100th anniversary of women's right to vote. And he decided he wanted to pardon Susan B. Anthony.
I will be signing a full and complete pardon for Susan B. Anthony. She was never pardoned. Did you know that? She was never pardoned.
You know, but people would tell you that Susan B. Anthony wouldn't want to be pardoned because with the women's suffrage movement, and what she was actually convicted of was voting. And so they call it the Susan B. Anthony Act, getting the right to vote as a woman. And they're saying she wouldn't want a presidential pardon because she didn't do anything wrong. And she actually was proud of her conviction.
As a kid, I used to collect the Susan B. Anthony coins, the Susan B. Anthony dollars. I don't know if yeah, I used to collect them, but I used to collect them as a kid, used to try to find them and collect them. And I still have, I think, close to hundreds of them. Used to collect them as a kid all the time.
What's the point of being pardoned when you're dead?
That didn't make any sense to me.
I mean, it was a publicity stunt, basically.
They do that often. I've seen them do that, but what's the point? What's the point of being pardoned when you're dead? Why do I care?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know why. What's the? I don't know. Why is that a thing? I don't care about being pardoned when I'm dead, but whatever.
She didn't even want them to post bail when she got arrested for casting illegal votes. She wanted to use that incarceration to actually move the fight to the Supreme Court more quickly, and she actually got annoyed when her lawyer posted bail on her defense. So.
Yeah, pardon the side of Shakur, if you want to impress me.
Yeah. All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now get it off your chest, 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. 800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man
or black. Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
You. What's good, Envy?
Hey, what's up, Trav?
Hey,
Boo.
Hey, Boo, where you been?
I've been in Virginia right now. This one, and we have to tell you a million times I'm from VA. I just been living in Philly for like 15 years.
Oh,
he don't listen.
I forget.
What's up, Shorty?
Peace, sis. What's happening?
How you doing?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored, sir.
That's good. That's good. I wanted to call up and first say congratulations to you guys on your Hall of Fame inductee.
Thank you, Trav.
Thank you.
You're definitely welcome. I also want to make sure I shout out, you know, the other people that added, because, you know, you guys have allowed me to, like, come around you guys, which is, like, a testament to just how you guys treat your listeners and stuff. And I just know that also the people that help you guys run everything behind the scenes. So, like, shout out to Taylor, shout out to Dan, shout out to Eddie F., shout out to Dramos, and then shout out to everybody that helps you guys behind the scenes awesome, man. Like, all you guys are awesome. And a true testament is
yeah. You do hang out with us, Trav, and we really did just meet you from talking on the radio.
Yes, and I'm the first person you guys have ever done that to allow to come to the station and just be around y'all. And y'all are awesome, bro.
Thank you, Trav.
And also, yesterday, y'all had a conversation about sleeping your way to the top. Have you ever slept your way to the top, right? Mind you, let me tell you what people
accused
think.
Of it.
And I've never even reached the top. But people swear.
Because you're a bottom.
The only reason. Oh, God. People
swear.
Well,
along those lines.
People swear I'm allowed to come around y'all because I've either slept with Charlamagne or because I slept with Envy.
Charlamagne. And we know it's true. We know it's true. Just stop it, Trav.
Well, Trav will never tell. That's why we haven't been around.
I've never done that.
Trav, you're not my type. You know why?
How do they know it wasn't ye?
They know it wasn't ye,
you're gay.
Trav, you're gay.
They know that, Trav. Maybe dramas.
And the fact that you're gay is exactly why you're not my type.
Bye, y'all.
What?
That's why?
That's why?
Hello?
Yo, you real kinky, you recently on this radio. You real kinky.
That's not kinky. How y'all went to college and ain't got no common sense? He's gay. He's not my type.
Good morning.
So drama out for y'all?
She's like, she doesn't know what's going on. Hello, right. Good morning.
Yeah,
how are you?
Who's don't even worry about it.
How are you doing? Hi, my name is Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, I don't usually call in, but I happened to be listening yesterday, and I heard a comment that was made by one of the gentlemen who said that he was bothered by being pushed to vote because sometimes there are not people in there who are need to be voted upon. And I just felt like that was completely out of line because you have, it's exercising your God-given right. It's the reason we vote. And we vote because we have a God-given right. And people had lost their lives and their livelihoods because they fought to get us to vote. And so when someone says, I'm not going to vote because I don't like the people in there, I think that is ignorant. And so
nobody said that. No,
I don't think anybody said
that.
They weren't going to vote.
What I said was they need to stop putting the burden on black and brown voters to come out and vote and start putting the burden on themselves to give black and brown voters something to come out and vote for.
But there shouldn't be, if anybody is running for an office, then we should vote.
That's not how votes work. Votes are quid pro quo. Votes are give and take. Politicians give us something. They make policy commitments to us, and we decide based on our interests who we want to go out and vote for. You just don't show up to vote just because.
Well, people should be part of the process, too. You should be telling these politicians and people running for office what it is that you want, what your demands are, and be involved in that as well. Sometimes you have to let people know, this is what's important to me.
Yeah, and on the flip side, politicians should know what we need and know what we want, and they should be making policy commitments to us based off our needs.
Right, and so that's where our voice comes in as well. But to stay home and not vote because the people who are in there, somebody's going to get in there. So if there's stuff that you don't like, we fight for that, of course. But the exercising of the right is what this situation is. It has to be. And if you knew, and I'm an old lady, so if you knew all the lives that were gone because people fought when they said we couldn't vote and we didn't have a right to go to the polls. And now we have a right and we're staying home and we're using different reasons for not doing that because of who's there. That's not going to change anything. So if we
don't exercise our vote,
it's not going to change who gets in there because we don't exercise. It's the exercise. It's doing it. It's voting. It's going to the polls is what's important. It's more important.
It's very important for politicians to put something on the table to receive those votes. And it's also not a God-given right either. All praise is due to God, but folks fought for our right to vote and died for our right to vote. Nobody gave us that.
Thank you, Mama. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up.
Wake your ass up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Demio. Good morning, DJ Envy. Good morning, Charlamagne. Good morning, Angela Yee.
How y'all Peace, King.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Good, man. I just wanted to get off my chest, man. My manager don't know what the heck she doing, man. I drive semi. Keep giving these nasty truck drivers my truck when I'm gone on vacation, man. It's filthy. But, you know, just to spread some positivity, man, I'm trying to get out of working for somebody else right now. So I got my product, Golden Glow product. We personally made it for black and brown skin people. It's a hair and a facial product. I should be able to send you something, man, because you always on envy about his hair, Charlamagne.
I'm proud of you, King. What does it do to your hair?
It helps it grow.
Okay.
It thickens up your beard. So far, it's cured cradle cap for a few kids. A couple of my friends used it for that. And
I wouldn't mind it for the beard. I'm letting the beard grow out.
Yeah, man. I'm letting the beard grow out. The email or something, man, and the address. So I'll send something to you, man.
Word. I want you to send something to my man Chico Bean, too. Chico Bean is a former member of the Baldhead Society, but he decided to get cornrows now, so he's going to need some hair products, too.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make sure I get him some over, too, man, and they can check out some of my music, too, on Apple Music or anywhere. Simeo Season. That's S-I-M-E-O. Season.
Man, I like you, Simeo. You know why I like you? Because you are dealing with your reality by being a truck driver, but you're also still continuing to pursue your dreams. And that's what life is all about.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do, man, is trying to, you know, figure it out, you know?
All right. You sound like you got it figured out, brother. Just keep pushing. Keep God first. Stay humble. Keep working.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's going on? Envious Mellow.
Mellow, what's up, brother?
Man, y'all are amazing, son, because being hot gets you the MVP, but staying hot gets you the Hall of Fame. So congrats to y'all.
Thank you. Consistency, baby. Thank you, King. Consistency.
For a fact. Now, Uncle Charlotte.
Yes, sir.
I hope you have your donkey today ready, because there was a man, I believe he's the radio host for the Charlotte Hornets.
He got I saw him.
Yeah. He's supposed to put Denver Nuggets, and he put Denver Knicks. Yeah.
Denver N words.
For a fact, like, come on now. And then he tried to lie and say it was autocorrect. Autocorrect don't do that unless you literally type that word every day. I would know. I type that word every day.
I ain't trying. Let me try to do it on my phone real quick and see what
comes up.
I tried it like three times. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. It did not work. This man is garbage, son. Cancel him ASAP.
He must spell it with a U, too. He must spell it N-U-G-G-A.
Nah, that's OD. That's ridiculous.
I'm serious. I think he might, because I don't see how he got that. Because the N-I wouldn't translate, or the N-U wouldn't turn to that, would it?
I mean, unless if you type every day, you type it every day. If you put N-U-G-G, that's it. It's there.
Hey, I know I type the N-word every day.
He has to type it every day.
I type it every day, and I still can't get that.
Nah, I do. I get it all the time. I try to type it. I try to find his gram and just put a couple sons under him, like, shut up, because he gave me tight.
Now, I will say, when I type in N-U-G-G-A, what comes up for me is Nuggets, Nigs, in parentheses.
We're not helping his case at all. At the end of the day, he's up.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Thank you. All right, Mello. Great game last night, too. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. Now, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, and Tim Norman, the star of Welcome to Sweetie Pies, he's been charged, arrested on federal charges. He's being held, and that is for conspiring an alleged murder for hire plot in the death of his own nephew. We'll give you the details.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Tim Norman.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right. Well, Tim Norman, he was on Welcome to Sweetie Pies, you know, with his mom, the rest of his family, and he got arrested.
What is Welcome to Sweetie Pies? I've seen that. I heard the name, but I don't know what show that is.
I'm pretty sure you never watched it.
Okay.
But she's an entrepreneur. She owns these stores, like bakeries.
Okay.
So he actually used to date Jennifer from Basketball Wives also. That was her boyfriend for a while. And they had a pretty bad breakup where she said that he was stalking her and that he was crazy and that he also was stalking. He had stalked another woman from St. Louis and, you know, he was calling her bitter and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And turns out that allegedly what they are saying now is that he and a woman named Terica Ellis, who was an exotic dancer, actually conspired to commit a murder for hire in exchange for money. And it was on his own 18-year-old nephew, Andre Montgomery. Now, according to federal authorities, he secured a $450,000 life insurance policy back in 2014. He was the sole beneficiary of this life insurance policy. And reportedly, before the days leading up to Andrew Montgomery's murder, Terica told him that she was coming to St. Louis. And the day before the murder, Tim Norman flew to St. Louis from L.A. And on the following day, they communicated using burner phones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they learned his location. And then after learning Andrew Montgomery's location, she placed a call to Norman. Later in that evening, Andrew Montgomery was shot and killed. And her phone location allegedly placed her in the area of the murder at the time of the shooting.
You know, that's why it's scary whenever people get life insurance policies on folks. Like, if you're not my family or real close family, like my wife and kids, don't get no damn life insurance policy on me, man. How are you comfortable even spending that blood money? You plotting on buying houses and land you going to purchase, all the while plotting on my life? Folks are crazy.
Well, in 2016, he contacted the life insurance company to collect on the life insurance policy that he had gotten on his own nephew. Terica Ellis was also charged by complaint with conspiracy to use interstate commerce facilities and that commission of murder for hire.
Shouldn't it be harder for folks to just open up life insurance policies on you, though?
It's not. And, you know, you don't even have to know that someone opened up a life insurance policy on you.
I thought you had to know.
That doesn't even make no sense. Me, too. I thought the person that might die had to sign off.
Yeah, I thought they had to sign off.
They do? I thought you could get one. Like, I heard that you can get one on somebody if they're one of your employees. You can get one on a family member.
Mm-mm, they got to sign off. When I was signed to Desert Storm to do my album on Sony, in the contract, it was a life insurance policy. And that's the first thing Gia made me take out, and my mom made me take out. It was like, no, because if you die, they get over $1 million. It's like, hell no.
A lot of labels put that in the fine print, though.
Yep.
A lot of labels sneak that in on you if
Absolutely.
You don't know no better.
Sheesh. I wonder why would he sign that and be okay with a life insurance policy on him?
I mean, he was 18, so who knows how old he was when he signed it.
I would think that's weird.
Is your uncle gassing you up, telling you to do something that maybe to your benefit you don't know? It's easy to manipulate kids.
I feel like that's so obvious. I feel like it's so obvious, too. You take out a life insurance policy on someone, you're the sole beneficiary, and then that person gets killed, and then next thing you know, you're trying... It just feels like...
That's sick, man. That's beyond sick.
I agree.
All right. Now, Kehlani has removed Tory Lanez from her song. We all know that this happened. And she talked about why she did that. She was actually discussing the fact that she's not just co-workers with Megan Thee Stallion. They don't just have an industry friendship. Here's what she had to say.
The things that I stand for and the things that I push so hard to, you know, hold space for as someone with a large platform, as someone that people look up to, as a woman that makes other women feel safe and empowered, people were asking me, you know, like, are you going to keep somebody on it who doesn't necessarily make us feel safe or empowered as a woman? And not only was that, but like, this is, you know, the situation was involving someone that I'm extremely close to. So I just felt like on some loyal shit, absolutely, I'm changing up the record.
That Megan Thee Stallion, Tory Lanez thing is really going to go down as a great hip hop mystery, huh? We never going to really truly find out what happened that night in that car, are we?
There's all kinds of theories that are going around and people weighing in on it, but no one really knows.
I'm actually like really shocked and surprised that in this era of social media where it's just such an age of transparency and everybody's putting everything online all the time, that nobody spoke out on that situation in the heat of the moment or even afterwards.
And I think we haven't really heard a peep from Tory Lanez since.
No, disappeared, haven't at all. Vanished.
Yeah.
I actually went to go check to see if his pages were still up the other day. I haven't even seen a Tory Lanez sighting.
No, they did. They seen him in McDonald's. There was one dude that seen him in McDonald's. He was, I think, in Miami in McDonald's.
Don't he got to get his trap toupee done, though? Don't he got to, like, keep his hair up? Tell us, Envy, when you got the fake hairline, how often do you got to get it maintenance?
I don't have a fake hairline, sir, but I don't know. I don't know what the maintenance is.
All right, MC Light has filed for divorce after being married for 3 years. So... she said irreconcilable differences is the reason that they have decided to file for divorce. They actually met on Match.com and they got married in August of 2017 in Montego Bay.
That's horrible. Divorce is never fun. And after only 3 years, Jesus Christ.
Like you said, it's a pandemic, though. We don't know what was going on. It's a tough time for couples.
Yeah, it's tough.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, and Netflix is testing out this shuffle play feature that will help pick what you watch. I guess it's kind of like when you do your music and you put it on shuffle. But I will say this, when Netflix recommends things to me based on my history of what I've watched, it's never really on point.
I look at the stars, see how many stars a movie or a flick has, see if I'm going to watch it or not.
I'm not watching on Netflix nothing on Netflix right now, but I do wish that I could watch Lovecraft Country on Netflix. Lovecraft Country comes on HBO, but after the first episode, I would absolutely binge that whole series if it was available. That's the beauty of Netflix, the binge watching capabilities.
I started watching this movie that Jamie Foxx is in, Project Power, on Netflix.
Oh, I heard about that. I'm gonna watch that this weekend. I heard about that.
I got to go see that, too.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Yes, we are going to be talking about a former Trump official who is saying that if Trump wins the presidency, you can expect that he'll align himself with all kinds of dictators.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Howdy, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where are we starting, Yee?
Well, let's start with a former senior Trump administration official who is now endorsing Joe Biden. Miles Taylor is his name, and here's what he had to say.
The president wanted to exploit the Department of Homeland Security for his own political purposes and to fuel his own agenda. The California wildfires told FEMA to cut off the money because he was so rageful that people in the state of California didn't support him and that politically it wasn't a base for him. The policies at the border, he said he wanted to go further and have a deliberate policy of ripping children away from their parents to show those parents that they shouldn't come to the border in the first place.
Ooh, sounds like a terrible person. Here's more of what Miles Taylor had to say.
A lot of the time, the things he wanted to do not only were impossible, but in many cases illegal. He didn't want us to tell him it was illegal anymore because he knew that there were, and these were his words, he knew that he had magical authorities. People who are still serving in this administration have said to me, just wait until the second term. It'll be no holds barred. It'll be shock and awe. We'll do what we want.
Yeah, all right, listen, I didn't know presidents had that much power until Donald Trump. I'm not going to lie to you. There seems to be no checks, no balances. Makes you mad at all other presidents who you thought were going to do stuff for you because they didn't exercise. Yeah. They didn't flex their magic powers. Right? Trump definitely waves his wand when he wants to.
Well, there's a whole group, I was telling you about this yesterday, Republican Voters Against Trump. So he did that video for them. And Donald Trump responded, of course. He said all of a sudden he's bad-mouthing. Reason is the Democrats or somebody got to him and said, how would you like to speak or whatever? He's a lowlife. Anybody that does that is a lowlife to me, and it's a shame.
He's going to wave his magic wand and make him disappear.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's talk about a police officer who actually got fired for defending George Floyd. One particular officer, Officer Williams, posted a video on his account where he spoke about the murder of George Floyd. Listen to this.
I am disgusted with the things that happened in Minneapolis. Period, point blank, things could have went way different. At the end of the day, let's talk facts. Guy is on the ground. He's laying on his stomach. He have handcuffs on. It's four of y'all, one of him. Four of y'all, one of him. Who has control of this situation? As an officer, you are a first responder, right? So if in the midst of you trying to gain compliance, someone is hurt, you have to render aid. So somebody's saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. You don't think to yourself and say, oh my gosh, this guy can't breathe. He might die. Let me render aid.
Well, once the Greensboro Police Department got a hold of this, they decided to fire him. Here's what Officer Williams had to say.
Being transparent with y'all, for the last 2 months, my job put me on administrative leave to do an investigation into my TikTok. After this investigation was done, which I found out today, I was relieved of my duties from that certain job.
It's very hard have the all police are good debate when things like this happen. A good police officer speaks out against the crime some officers are committing, and he gets fired for that. Like, what kind of messaging is that sending? Cases like his, Carrillo in Buffalo, that makes zero sense to me. How is
what
that
did he say wrong?
Improve? Nothing.
He didn't say anything wrong. He didn't say, go get the police or I hate the police. He just said, hey, I think they handled this wrong. Like he was supposed to do. We are asking for police officers that see something wrong to say something. He says something and he gets fired?
That restores faith in the community and police. That improves relations between the community and the police because we actually see and hear from police officers who say, nah, that wasn't right. That wasn't correct. I want the good police officers to speak out against bad policing.
So well, he has a GoFundMe. His family started a GoFundMe. They're seeking legal representation, so he's trying to raise funds to cover any cost that the future may bring. So far, they've raised almost $28,000 of their $50,000 goal.
And I bet you he wasn't on the force long enough to get his pension, right? So he'll probably end up in the same situation as Carrielle Horn in Buffalo because she was like a year away from her pension. Mm-hmm. He seemed relatively young, so I don't think
he did.
I'm just assuming
that's
that he wasn't
foul.
Around long enough.
That's so.
Right. We should have him on the show. What's his name?
His name is Jaque Williams. He's 32 years old.
Yeah, Jaque.
Oh, yeah. Tell Jaque Williams holler at us. We need to have him on Breakfast Club.
Absolutely.
We need to have Jaque on Breakfast Club. See what we can do for him. See what we can do for his GoFundMe. We're kind of good at that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Somebody tell Jaque Williams. Jaque Williams, you said, G?
Mm-hmm.
Jaque Williams, get at us. I don't know. Hit me at C to God, CTHAGOD, or Envy, or Angela E. How do they get in touch with us? Do we have any way to?
They could hit our DM.
Usually
they
people just send us a DM. We also have breakfastclubam@gmail.com that you can hit them.
There you go.
Yeah, send us a DM. We'll get you over to the right person. Breakfastclubam@gmail.com.
The email easier because I don't be checking my DMs. Breakfastclubam@gmail.com. We'll get at
I'll check my Instagram DM too. So you can, definitely hit us up. We'll figure it out.
There you go. We're going to help that brother out. He deserves it.
Absolutely. All right.
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
Front page news. Thank you. Now, when we come back, Jemele Hill and Carrie Champion will be joining us, and we'll kick it with them when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Checking out the world's most dangerous morning show.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have some special guests on the line today.
That's right.
Carrie Champion and Jemele Hill. Welcome, ladies.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
So, Jamel, is it ironic that you have this show now, Stick to Sports with Carrie, and just 3 years ago you were tweeting out about how Donald Trump is a white supremacist and he's supported by white supremacists. It was an issue then, but now look at where we are.
Well, the title of the show is more ironic than anything, and I think Carrie put it best, is that this is really kind of a middle finger to a lot of the people that not only tried to silence athletes who wanted to use their voice and their platform to bring awareness to various issues, from Colin Kaepernick to LeBron James, but also to us. I mean, we were pretty high profile people at ESPN. You guys obviously are familiar with what I went through. Carrie went through similar struggles, especially internally at ESPN. So this is to all those people who try to, you know, just silence Black people, period. This is like your whole Stick to Sports campaign didn't work. And now we're at a point where sticking to sports is not even optional. And so it just goes to kind of show you that despite sometimes a lot of backlash you may receive, controversies or what have you, that ultimately the side of right will prevail, even if it's a slow climb to, you know, to that, to things being prevailed on that end. So like, so for us, this is really just kind of a, you know, a big fuck you. It's all good.
Don't you think somebody at ESPN owes you an apology though? Because they literally didn't want you to talk about issues revolving around social justice. And that's pretty much all they talk about now.
But I mean, I got the best apology there is. It's called a check.
It just seems very hypocritical of ESPN, because you know I be seeing them now, like they be having our good sister Angela Rye on ESPN, and I'm like,
wow,
yeah, I
didn't know that
one day, and I was like, what in the matter is this?
Exactly.
Wow.
So I just think that's kind of, I think that's very hypocritical of ESPN, personally.
Yeah, I mean,
they are hypocrites.
Yeah, I mean, it's an uncomfortable time for a lot of these companies. It's not just ESPN. They have had reckonings that have happened inside the building. You know, there was a lot of, you know, we both still have friends at ESPN. There's been a lot of conversations inside the building about, you know, they need to be much like many of the others in corporate media and just corporations, period. Before they need to, you know, putting out these little pretty ass statements is one thing, but like, can you address what's happening inside of your building? Can you address the fact that you have a very a low number of you know, Black decision makers in key positions? That's the stuff that they have to deal with. So before you put out any statements and put out any specials, deal with that part of your business. And I think ESPN is just in a long line of people having to face
that are doing that.
Yeah, that are doing that and having to face that internal reckoning.
If you look at, you know, some people that say, you know, hey, I get politics all day long, and when I want to watch sports, I just want to watch sports. And then you give some people that say, no, I want politics to be part of sports because it all matters. So how do you play that line to decide how far you go when you're talking about politics and sports?
I think that our show, Stick to Sports, is a little bit of everything. I just, you know what, I hate the idea, the premise that sports and politics do not integrate, because they do. They intersect, and they've intersected since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfortunate that we've lied to America, or people have believed the lie, more importantly, that the two don't intersect. People who say stick to politics only want to hear about it when it's not favorable in whatever they believe. So if Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for cancer, we wouldn't even be here today. This wouldn't even be a conversation. But kudos to LeBron, because LeBron is very aware of the fact that they just want him to be a player, right? But he's like, because I am arguably the greatest, the biggest athlete of all time, that's a whole nother debate, I'm going to make sure that I put my name in this conversation.
I love LeBron's activism, but do you think that he's even more intentional about his activism because he knows that's what separates him from MJ, being that he knows he'll probably never catch MJ on the court?
That's such a hater question. That is a hater question. You're so question.
There was no hate right in that question at all.
Actually, you know what, Charlamagne? You're asking it. You should be asking it in the inverse. Is Michael Jordan being more intentionally socially aware? Because whenever we start that player debate about who's better, LeBron or Jordan, one of the things people always bring up is, well, maybe he isn't as equal to Michael Jordan as a player, but he's a better humanitarian. And my two cents is that I think it's Michael Jordan understanding through LeBron that this is something that he's got to rectify when it comes to his perception, because that's the most negative thing people say about Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Well, Jamel, talk about this encounter that you had with Michael Jordan. Expand on that.
See, I didn't roll up on Michael Jordan. What happened was is that he actually spotted Kerry. This is a few years ago at NBA All-Star Weekend in Toronto. And, you know, we snuck into his party. Like, we were on the list. And Kerry, I don't know if you remember this, the person I'm pretty sure that we snuck in with, because we did that whole...
Was it Draymond?
No, I think it was Paul George.
Oh, okay.
I snuck in with Lala. I stayed in with Lala. Lala walked in and I'm moving right with Lala. But go ahead.
See what I'm saying? Like, that's how you do it, right? That's that, like, that's that.
So they put their hand up in front of Envy, like, okay, sir.
But you already know when you women, you it's much easier for you to do. They like, all right, whatever. So we go to the VIP where I think Drake was DJing. And everybody's in there. It's like, you know, Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook and D-Wade and, you know, all the people. And all of those. And Jordan was in there. And so he stopped Kerry because he recognized her.
But mind you, all night long, at that time, it wasn't cool to be friends with people in the media. Jamel was on His and Hers and I was on First Take. And you have to realize, I had just a First Take. A lot of the players didn't like what people on First Take had to say. They didn't like His and Hers because it was all about opinion. So you have to understand, no one was really talking to us in that party. So Jamel, pick up the story from there.
Of course, you know, y'all know my background. I'm from Detroit. I grew up a really big Pistons fan. And there are certain things that Detroiters would never let go. Number one on that list is Isaiah not being on the Dream Team.
Lord.
So absolutely. I was like, I just, you know, he's talking, he's saying all this great basketball stuff, talking about how if there was any player in the league that he would pay to see, it was Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just having a basketball conversation. And I was like, you know what? For all of Detroit, for the 313, I got to ask this question. I was like, why did you hold, I was like, why did you keep Isaiah off the 92 Dream Team? I just straight up asked him. I was like, dude, that was wrong. He should have been on the Dream Team. And he just looked, and he just looked at me dead in my face, and he was like, nobody wanted Isaiah on that team. But they
lies. He said he had nothing to do with it.
Wait, no, that's what I was about to say. He said they can make me the bad guy, but nobody wanted him on that team. That's what he said. And I was just really? You just gonna hurt my feelings right in this beautiful party?
How do you feel about Kerry? Because Kerry said nobody likes Isaiah Thomas.
I know, but Kerry, it's okay for Kerry to be wrong.
All right, we have more with Jamel Hill and Kerry Champion when we come back. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Jamel Hill and Kerry Champion in the building. Yee.
I want to ask y'all a question just off topic for a second. We were talking about Kamala Harris and how they talk about, you know, they're bringing up she slept with this person and that's how she got here as women in this industry, because we were all talking about this as a topic, how you get accused of things just because people are jealous. You got into a position and people just throw anything out there. So has that happened to you ladies in your career where people have accused you of things just because you're in the position that you're in?
Yes. And Angela, you can relate to this. I don't believe that it's fair, because here's the low hanging fruit. If you are somewhat attractive, if you interview somebody, you get an exclusive. It's never about your resume and what you've been able to do. When I first got to ESPN, I use this as an example, and I had always experienced this my entire career. But when I first got to ESPN, Jamel, I don't know if you guys know this, Jamel was supposed to get the host job, or that's what the streets thought. And we were both up for it. So the way society likes to pin two black women against one another, and you think there can only be one, so you don't fool with other black women. Like, you grow up thinking that, which is simple, and thank God Jay didn't have that mentality. So when I got the job and she didn't, I used to hear all this stuff about what I did to get the job, and that's why she didn't get it, and why she didn't get, you know, all this nonsense. So Jay had reached out to me and sent me an email. And when I didn't respond, she thought I wasn't fooling with her. It was because I didn't know, like she said, I'm not tech savvy. I didn't know how to work email. So I'll own that. But she went out of her way to make sure that this narrative that two black women could live in the same space. You guys know what they did to Kamala, and I'll liken it to that. Like, why were they, all these black women who could have been VP candidates, they're comparing them. Like, she's this, that one's that. They didn't do that with white women. That's just unfair. And we buy into that as Black folks. We buy into the narrative that there could only be one, and that is not true. We all can eat. And I thank her, because that was my thought process. I thank Jay for not doing that. So we finally get together and have dinner. And I remember thinking, I'm going in here, this girl about to talk shit. I'm not going to be her friend. She's going to be so jealous. She's going to be A, B, C, and D. And I was right about all of those things.
I was correct. You got over it, though.
I got over it. And I didn't want to be bothered, but I was like, fine, I'll f*** with her. Well, okay, tell your version of it, Jay.
So what had happened was, is that I did come on too strong from this regard. I was never jealous. I was very excited that Carrie got this job, because you guys know what a big show First Take is. And to put a Black woman, you know, in the middle of two big personalities at the time of Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, that's a huge opportunity for a woman in this business, a Black woman in this business. So to me, that was the win. However, what I did make the mistake of is that I had 6 years of equity at ESPN, 6 years of time. So I'd seen a lot of things. And so sometimes, especially when you're starting a new job, you need to let people experience things on their own. And then if they want to bring you into what they're experiencing, then that's cool. I just told her from the jump, because I had heard the way they talked about this particular job and what was said behind closed doors, was that, look, they are intent on having somebody who's seen and not heard. So you need to be careful about that. And, you know, I was just letting her know where the pockets of racism were. Like, I just gave her the whole full rundown, which, again, she's just starting this job. She didn't need to hear all that. You know, right. Like, I didn't need to. I felt like in some ways, you know, looking back on it, I was kind of shitting on her moment by telling her all the traps that she had to look out for. I should have maybe given her some of it, but not like all of it.
Everything she said was right. None of it was wrong. It wasn't the timing, though. All of it was correct. And whenever we found ourselves in moments, i.e. me found myself in a moment where I was just completely feeling disrespected, she would, you know, jump online and fire up a couple of tweets or have my back in whatever way. So much so to the point that, you know, one of those guys sitting on the desk used to email her and tell her she wasn't right, got mad at her, was like, why are you taking up the
tweet? Hasn't spoken to me since.
Wow. Yeah.
Hold on, he had my back. He used to text you and say that? Or email you?
No, he emailed her. He gave her a 2-page email to tell her why she ain't
Because you were defending another Black woman?
Yeah, I mean, it happened when, you know, because when a lot of times when things happen on that desk, it's like Carrie will wind up taking the fall for it for no reason whatsoever. And this was during when Stephen A. Smith got into trouble for what he said about domestic violence. And the thing I tweeted was that I felt like part of the reason some of those conversations on First Take exploded into controversy is because they didn't give Carrie enough of a voice. And here you are talking about domestic violence and, you know, with Carrie not being empowered to add to the conversation, it made it harsher than it was. And so I expressed that, like, maybe y'all wouldn't be in this situation if the woman that's on the desk, you actually empowered her to use her voice to speak in situations like this. And so, I mean, look, it's only two people. I don't mind saying who it is. I mean, Skip doesn't really fuck with me. So, you know, he was...
He sent her a 2-page email, went off on her.
No, all
email. He told her, essentially, he made her, and she traded on him.
He claimed... What? Yeah, he claimed credit, because I'm just being fair about the situation. It's like, when I first started doing, you know, First Take, it was Cold Pizza then. And, you know, Skip was somebody whose opinion about this business and industry, I really respected. I mean, he did take me under his wing in a lot of ways and taught me about television, because that's not something that I was really familiar with coming from a print background. So we had a very good relationship. And so when I did that, when I spoke up on Carrie's behalf, you know, about that situation, he was put out. And so he sent me a very long email saying he felt betrayed and he was on some I made you type of thing.
Wow.
And, you know, we haven't talked since.
But that's when our friendship really came into play. Like, she just had my back no matter what. Behind the scenes, tweet here and there. All that did was speak volumes to how she respected me. And as a result, I think people started to see that we were really friends and they weren't doing the comparison thing. Fast forward to when she gets in trouble,
everybody silent. Everybody singing their praises for years. Got her back, love her. Everybody here, homie. Nobody was publicly, not nobody, there were a handful of people. But all those people who loved her and talked about how great and mighty she was, they were just silent. I'm tweeting, I'm saying whatever, like this ain't right. Like, I'm hurt, like hurt. I'm calling her at 5 a.m. I'm like, girl, how you doing? She's like, you know, unbothered, but probably upset. And I legit, like, this is the craziness. People like, I'm gonna have to control Carrie's tweets. My tweets weren't like, F you, Donald. They were just like, that shit right. And then when it's all said and done, if they had to do it over again, I guarantee they would defend her. They would have her back because she was ahead of her time and she was on the right side of it.
All right, we have more with Jemele Hill and Carrie Champion when we come back. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Jemele Hill and Carrie Champion in the building. Charlamagne?
Hey, Jemele, I wonder, right, how would you handle an email like the one you got from Skip Bayless now? Would you air them out publicly? Like, what would you do?
No, I wouldn't air them out publicly. Like, it would be, I mean, this is the first time I've ever even talked about that. Like, most people don't even know that that happened. And this is not me airing it out. It's just, like, the truth of what it was is that, you know, now I probably pick up the phone and it probably would be a lot of cuss words involved. And
what cuss words would they be? one start with the M and end with the
A? Yeah. And my, you know, my thing with him was that, you know, I felt like that where our relationship was is that you could have called me, like, and we could have had that conversation face to face. And you know, beyond this, that is just the entitlement of thinking that he made me. It was just like, oh, slow down now. Like, I'm grateful for how you showed me the ropes and grateful that I was able to be on a show like First Take to expand, you know, my profile and to really, you know, kind of raise the awareness of who I was. I mean, it was all a part of a concoction of things that led to me getting the show with Mike, his and hers.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, let's just calm down on the patriarchy real fast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Granted, you know, being at ESPN, of course, when you're dealing with somebody of his profile, you have to be careful with how you check people because it's a lot of people in there. And I had another situation. I'm gonna say that one for my book. So I ain't gonna
tell you. No. I wanna bring it out in the Breakfast Club.
Would
y'all have Skip Bayless on the show to address it? Like, would you?
Hell yeah, we would. He would never do it, but Skip is, but let's say this, the same way that she speaks in favor of Skip, I will say this. He's an incredibly complicated human. As most people who are successful in any industry, they are. There's a side of them that's very generous and loving and caring, and then there's a side of them that's very competitive and lethal. And sometimes those two get mixed up. Like, y'all work together. Y'all know how she just looks. Come on, that ain't brand new.
What do you think Stick to Sports would do for women in sports and Black women in journalism in general?
You know, honestly, I mean, I think the beauty of us having this show, I mean, of course, people need to see that it's possible. But, you know, mm-hmm. Secondly, I think the way we're doing it is really important to point out is that we're executive producers on this show. This show is truly built around us. So one piece of it is to get on TV. And as you guys know, another piece of it is to own a portion of what you're doing. And so that ownership component is key because, look, Carrie and I are both suffering from a little bit of PTSD from our time at ESPN, okay? And we were in a situation where, you know, working for such a huge platform is that you have very little ownership of what you do. And we both reached this point in our careers where we want to work with people and not necessarily for people. So this is a true collaboration. And you know, not only that, is that it's certain things, especially now in this time in our country, you know, you have a Black woman who is, you know, the vice presidential nominee. Black women are the most educated group in the country. They're the only racial ethnic group that owns more businesses than their male counterparts in that racial ethnic group. So this is a time where a lot of Black women are seizing their power. And I hope through us that they can see that they don't have to wait for somebody to acknowledge them. They don't have to wait for somebody to quote unquote give them an opportunity. It's the time to seize your power
at whatever
level you are at.
Came up with the petty name Stick to Sports because that's a nice little jab at ESPN.
It was not a a jab at ESPN, but like, you know, it's funny because like we had to, when the original press release dropped that had that we were doing this show together, we had a name in there that we just kind of came up with just to fit into the press release. But Seek the Stores was going to be a segment in the show, regardless of what it was named. Mm-hmm. And then the more that it circulated around the company advice, the more that Carrie and I talked about it, the more we talked about it with our production staff, it was like, oh, I think that's the name of the show. So we just kind of arrived at it from that standpoint.
I feel like this would be my favorite sports show to watch, so I'm excited. Oh, so congratulations.
We appreciate that.
Thank
Although, I mean,
you.
I tell people, it's not a sports show. I mean, we are delving into a lot of different areas. Now, granted,
but the core of it is probably sports, and there's so much around that you can break off into also, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about pop culture, politics, mm-hmm. news, especially with an election coming up. You know, we have a lot to discuss there. One of the reasons we had, you know, Cori Bush on the show is like, we didn't talk to Cori Bush about sports. We talked to her about like what she's trying to accomplish in her story. I mean, and even with LeBron, the majority of that conversation was not about sports. When we do touch on sports, it will be from a 10,000 foot view and talking about those messy intersections with race, gender, politics, culture. In that particular way.
I heard y'all did an interview with Bossip and y'all gave Jason Whitlock and Sage Steele some smoke.
Damn, Charlamagne, who is your sources?
What you saying?
I don't know if we, I call it professional ether. We don't know if we gave smoke. We have gone out of our way actually to not acknowledge other people when they come for us. And that should be considered grace and mercy.
You know, I think there is a professional level of respect that I give to basically any Black woman in this business who gets
right.
to every point, because I know how hard it is to do that. What I don't like is that when I see some of those same women who in front of everybody else, they're presenting this picture of solidarity, but behind closed doors, they're doing
working against
possible
you
to undermine the progress of other women. And so that's what I take an issue with. Like Carrie said, this is not about anybody's politics with these two people in particular. It's about the character of who they are that I think we all question. There's a reason why they have a certain reputation in this business. That's all I got to say.
There you go.
Is it dangerous for you though, Jamel? Because I saw D.L. Hughley got into a situation yesterday. Do people run up on you too, like Trump supporters?
No, I've never had that. And I'm glad you asked that question, Charlamagne, because this is where I remind people who might think about it, is that my husband is a legal gun owner. And that's all I got to say. He's also 6'2". You can try it if you want to. I'm also from Detroit, and I wasn't always at ESPN. So you can get all the smoke that you asked for. But I've never had that, thankfully.
I tell Carrie this all the time, but I'm so proud of y'all because it took a lot of to walk away from ESPN. Like, there's so many people who will not walk away from the mighty ESPN. They think ESPN is their whole existence, just the end-all, be-all. So for you two to step off the boat so you can walk on water is to be applauded, because folks be scared to step away. And it says that you both know your power, and I respect that a lot.
Well, thank you. We are Andy Dufresne and Red. Real quick, before we leave, I just want to congratulate you, Hall of Famers. Such an honor to be in the presence radio elite, radio royalty. Yeah, I mean, it's understated what you guys have done for the culture and just in general to have the longevity and the success. Like, just all the kudos to you guys, because that's a tremendous honor that most of us never get to sniff. So,
thank you.
Congratulations.
Hi, that was Jamel Hill and Carrie Champion. All right, keep it locked. We'll be back. Rumors on the way. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Listen.
Gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Lil Wayne sat down and did an interview with Elliot Wilson. And Elliot Wilson is Tidal's chief content officer, by the way, also a friend to The Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. And here's what
Elliot,
he had to say
YN.
About Drake.
Drizzy always was just a knockout from the door. But when he was introduced to me and I was like, okay, what does this kid do? Well, let me hear it again. And I was like, oh, who that is on the hook? I'm like, that's him too. And when I saw him, you know what I mean? When I saw him, I was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, where you from? Canada. Like, Canada? He was also on the TV show when he was younger, so a few people may know him from that.
Degrassi, yeah.
I was like, well, he got a lot going for him, you know, and I was like, I'm honored for him to even choose me as an option.
Well, Drake was in the comments, and he said, this man believed in me after so many never called again or just didn't see it to begin with. Most selfless artist ever, never held any of us back, always pushed us forward every single night in people's faces. 20K packed into an arena, and he had a whole set of his show dedicated to introducing us for years. All praise and credit due to the GOATs.
I mean, very honorable. And if you're being objective and, you know, you're ranking Wayne, you have to rank Wayne very high because of the people that he presented to the game, like Drake, like Nicki Minaj, like Tyga, because I don't think you're a real superstar unless you make other superstars. And Wayne definitely has did that. So salute to Wayne.
Yeah, correct.
All right, and since we're talking about Drake, Tiffany Haddish had a Drake story as well, and she talked about canceling a dinner date with Drake. Well, he canceled. And here's what she said happened as she sat down with Lunel for Vlad TV.
I did a video, and then he's like, I'm going to take you to dinner. I'm going to take you to dinner because I want to know who bit Beyonce. Right now. He's like, I want to know who bit Beyonce. My mama keep on asking me who did it, who did it. And I was like, I'm definitely not going to tell you until you feed me. And then it was funny because we were supposed to go out, but then he's like, I got a family emergency. And it was around the same time when the whole stuff with the baby came out, his baby and all that.
And listen, everything happens for a reason. Now she's in love. She's with Common. Maybe if she would have went out with Drake, it might have blocked that blessing from happening. Who knows? All right, and let's talk about some more positivity. Tracee Ellis Ross's Daria spinoff is going to be at Comedy Central. They're taking the character Jodi Landon from the token black girl on Daria to the star of her own show now. So that's the spinoff that's going to be happening.
I'm here for that.
Also, Snoop Dogg, Ciara, and Young M.A. all have gotten radio shows at Apple Music. So congratulations to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder why Apple Radio isn't just calling that podcast. I guess because they play music as well.
Yeah, in between, yep.
Yeah. So, okay, yeah, that's why. I was sitting there wondering yesterday. I'm like, okay, they're announcing all of these shows. Why they just don't call them podcasts? I guess they are actual radio shows because they're playing music. So that makes
they play
sense.
Music, yep.
All right, and Will Smith and Kevin Hart are going to be starring in a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles remake. That film was released originally in 1987, starring Steve Martin and John Candy. By the way, I love that movie. Do you ever see Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I did, but I don't remember.
I've heard about it.
I did, but I don't remember.
So the point of that story was it was two people. Steve Martin was a businessman. John Candy was like this annoying person that he met as they were trying to make it home to Chicago in time for Thanksgiving. But there's all kinds of issues with the flight. So they end up, you know, not being able to take a flight, then having to take a train, and they keep running into each other. Mm-hmm. And John Candy is super annoying. But then you find out his family situation, so on and so forth. So if you haven't seen it, you should watch the original. But I think that'll be really dope with Will Smith and Kevin Hart together. Both of them are from Philly. So I can see that really being an amazing movie. And it's funny. Mm-hmm.
That's their first time working together too, right?
One of those tearjerkers in a way.
It mm-hmm. is the first time they work together. Or we'll be watching together.
Why did you do your hand like that?
Whose hand?
Oh, it's actually a part of the movie. There's actually, you know what? There's a part in the movie where Steve Martin is doing that. You got to see the movie to see why.
You
but
said
I guess
tearjerker, and then you did that. And I was like, this is not lip service-y. I don't know what the hell that was. Jesus Christ.
But the part of the movie that's sad, you want me to tell y'all?
No.
Yes.
Or no?
No.
Yeah, the movie's been for 40 years.
Yeah, it's an old movie, but it's going to be different with the remake, but there's a part of the movie where Steve Martin just goes off on John Candy, and he's like pulling at a string on his chest and telling John Candy he's like a doll that won't shut up. You know how you pull the string? And so he's doing that in the movie, and then it just gets kind of sad because then John Candy explains, like, you know, he's got all kinds of personal issues, and it's kind of sad, and it's around the holidays, so imagine you don't have a family and it's the holidays. So yeah, gotta see it. I don't know, I guess it was y'all didn't see it, so or don't remember it.
I don't remember it. No,
it was just a reaction, but yes, I'm excited for the two of them to work together. And Kevin Hart said, I've been patiently waiting for the right project to team up with my brother with. We found it and are developing it together with our teams. This will be huge for us and the city of brotherly love, aka Philadelphia. Let's go.
Dropping the blues bombs for Philly.
What was the movie with, I can't remember. I think it was Trading Places. That's when the guy was homeless and the guy was rich and he traded places. Was that Trading Places?
Yes, Eddie Murphy, yes.
Eddie Murphy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What made you just bring that up?
For some reason, when I think of Trading Places, I just thought of that movie. I don't know why, but
I don't know why either.
Trading Places was also a black and white thing. You got to think. It was letting a black guy be the rich guy in charge and trade places with the white guy. Mm-hmm. And the white guy be the homeless.
I don't know how you formulated.
Well, I'm Angela. Yeah, that had nothing to do with this.
Nah, because I thought that was the movie. I just remember the two homeless guys. I was like, Vladimir, we rich now.
There was one homeless guy.
What was the movie with two homeless guys? And they were like, Vladimir.
I was coming to America, you idiot.
I'm mixing up my movies, man. Hey.
Jesus Christ.
We need you to go back and do a crash course in
I can't remember the movies. I can't remember.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne, who are you giving that donkey to?
We need this guy named John Falk to come to the front of the congregation.
Whoa. What's his name?
A word with him.
What's his name?
John Falk.
Are you sure?
John what?
F-O-C-K-E. Okay. Yes, we need him to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him.
All right. We'll give it to John Falk when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This don't be a donkey, because right now you want some real donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Did she get donkey today? Please tell me.
I have become Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
You're a donkey.
Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, August 19th, goes to Charlotte Hornets radio broadcaster John Folkey. Now, Mr. Folkey has been suspended indefinitely after he sent a tweet about the Denver Nuggets Monday's win over the Utah Jazz. Now, before we get into that, how many people hate autocorrect? Autocorrect and that other feature on the smartphone where they type out the statement before you do. I don't F with it. I hate it. Okay, you're not a mind reader phone. I know you a smartphone, but don't be a smart ass and attempt to finish all my sentences, okay? You ever be talking to someone and they finish all your sentences before you do? I hate that. Nothing worse than when you want to, send a simple statement but end up having to send three texts because autocorrect gets it wrong. Monday night, I'm texting my homie, Tesla Figaro. Drop on the clues bombs for Tesla Figaro. I'm texting Tez about the DNC convention and what Michelle Obama's speech was going to be about. So I text back, they said she's going on. What I meant to text was they said she's going in, but I typed on. Then when I went to go correct the on and text in, I text I'm. It's very frustrating. Now you feel like you got to explain what you meant, so I type not holding anything back, okay? I also hate when you send something and your phone auto-corrects to something that don't even make no sense. I was texting my homegirls, Dolly and Ashley, the other day, dropping the clues bombs for Dolly and Ashley. And I meant to type, this what white people do to us. And I typed, this what shirt people do to us. If you so smart, Mr. Phone, what the hell is a shirt person? Then I typed this, don't got shot to do with anything. I didn't mean to type shot. I meant to type sugar, honey, iced tea. The moral of the story is autocorrect is the devil. In the case of John Folkey, autocorrect is a white devil. Let's go to the Charlotte Observer to see what happened.
On Monday afternoon, Charlotte Hornets radio announcer John Falk pulled out his phone and made two errors in rapid succession. Two keystrokes, Falk said in our interview Tuesday. That's all it took to change what would have been a forgettable tweet into one he calls a horrible mistake. Those two keystrokes got Falk suspended indefinitely by the Hornets on Tuesday and have put his job in jeopardy. Falk said he meant to write, shot making in this Jazz Nuggets game is awesome. Murray and Mitchell going back and forth, what a game. Instead, he wrote exactly that, except instead of the word Nuggets, he typed the plural form of the N-word.
John Folkey, whose last name I'm sure has auto-corrected to a word that would get us fined $325,000 on the radio, tweeted out, shot making in this Jazz N-word game is awesome. Murray and Mitchell going back and forth, what a game. Now, that's not going to go over well with anyone, but it's definitely not going to go over well in a league where 74.4% of the players are black. Crazy part is, the Denver N-word plural, it got a nice ring to it. Now, John apologized. He tweeted, earlier today, I made a horrific error while attempting to tweet about the Denver-Utah game. I don't know how I mistyped. I had no intention of ever using that word. I take full responsibility for my actions. I have been sick to my stomach about it ever since. I'm truly sorry that happened, and I apologize to those I offended. I appreciate the apology. I appreciate the apology, John. And by no means am I making excuses for a white man using the N-word, but let me play white devil's advocate for a minute. I can take full responsibility for my actions. We always should. But I can't take full responsibility for the actions of my smartphone. I just can't. I know they say that your smartphone only auto-corrects the words you use a lot, but I don't know if that's true. I'm also trying to figure out, how do you get the N-word out of Nuggets? It's not like Nuggets is spelled N-I-G-G. It's N-U-G-G. I and you are both vowels, but I don't think that's how smartphones work, okay? It's certain teams I can see making that mistake for. Example, I can see the Chicago Bulls auto-correcting to Chicago Bulls.
That makes sense to me. I can see the Utah Jazz auto-correcting to, let's say, the Utah Jazz. That makes sense to me. Brooklyn Nets could easily, easily be the Brooklyn Nets. But I don't see how you get the N-word out of Nuggets. Okay, by the way, can you imagine if your phone sent out a tweet that said the shot-making in this versus balls game is awesome? I can see Dramos posting something like that. What if Chicago was playing Brooklyn? I can see Envy letting out a tweet that said this balls versus game is awesome. Sounds pretty on brand. I guess you have to take full responsibility for your phone because it's your phone. But I just want to know, when he found out he was suspended indefinitely, did he accidentally tweet his last name several times before he realized he was going for the word that gets us fined $375,000 on the radio? In fact, if that didn't happen, he's lying about this whole thing. That's how we can figure out if he should be suspended indefinitely. How many times have you went to type the F word after finding out you were suspended indefinitely and your last name, Folky, popped up? Okay, if that didn't happen, you are a liar, John, who doesn't deserve to be a radio announcer for the Charlotte Hornets. Please give John Folkey the sweet sounds of Charlotte, North Carolina's own Hamiltons.
For now you are the donkey of the day. You are the donkey of the day.
Now, when we come back, 800-585-1051, it's time for Ask Yee. 800-585-1051, if you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can hit Yee right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What you want to know?
Baby mama issues? Need some words of wisdom? Call up now for Ask Yee. 800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Come on,
need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Yee.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
This is D.
D, what's up, man? What's your question for you, bro?
D.
Man, I'm calling because I'm in love with two women, but my children, my daughter, been with her for 17 years, and it was kind of real rough. And then I ended up meeting a coworker and fell in love with her. And I told my kid's mother about it because I was ready to move on. But it's like every time I see her, I just like kind of fall back in love with her. And I don't want to hurt neither one of them heart. And
it sounds like you don't need to be with either one of them right now.
I mean,
where are you living? Are you still living with your children's mother who you've been with for 17 years?
Well, actually, she lives at my place, but I'm not there.
So y'all, you moved out.
Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
I have three.
All right. And do you think about what your kids might be feeling as they see their mother struggling and having to go through this with you?
Yeah, I think about that. It do bother me a lot, you know, but it's like, I'm not happy. You know what I'm saying? It's like she's not there mentally and physically really with, you know.
Well, of course she's not there mentally and physically with you right now. You told her you're in love with someone else.
But it was way before that. That's what made me venture off because I was missing that. You know, I felt like I did everything to make our home happy and stuff, and I wasn't receiving it in return. So I just got caught up and fell in love with somebody.
Well, a couple of things here I want to say, because it sounds like this is a very selfish situation. If every time you see your children's mother, you've told her you're in love with somebody else, you want to move on, but then you, quote, fall back in love with her when you see her. It's really not fair to her for you to be leading her on this way.
True.
Do you want her to be happy and move on with somebody? Because if you know that's not who you want to be with, you can't keep on going back and forth. That's confusing for the kids. That's confusing and not fair to her if you care about her at all.
True. So you're correct about that. And I did. I was at the point of one was going to let her go and be with somebody else. And that didn't bother me, you know. And that's when I felt like I was ready to move on. But since then, it's like, she's been doing it by me being honest and confessing about what I was doing. She started doing everything to win me back. and I started falling for it, but deep down inside, I'm feeling like 6 months later, you're going to be back doing the same stuff. And now I broke up a friendship with somebody because I'm trying to keep a family together.
Right. Well, I think if you're just staying with her because you want to keep the family together, but you're not in love and you know you're going to hurt her again, then don't put her through that again. You know, you've moved out. She has the place. You said you're in love with somebody else. You said she's just trying real hard to win you back. But it's really not fair to her if you know deep down that's not what it is.
Right. I feel you.
So I think the selfless thing to do is to not just thrive off of this attention that she's giving you because you know what it's about. It's a, you know, she doesn't want you to be with anyone else. She still has feelings for you. But it doesn't really seem like you have them back for her. Now, if you decide I think what you need to do is not be in a relationship with anybody until you figure out how you could work on yourself.
Okay.
Don't confuse things. You shouldn't be, unless you know you want to be with her and you're going to give it your all and give it all your effort and you two are going to work on this together and go to therapy and repair your relationship and understand the time and effort that's going to take. If you're willing to do those things, then I feel like you have to cut the other woman off, of course. And work on that solely. You owe her that much if that's what you want to do. Now, if in your heart you know that's not what you plan to do, then don't put her through this anymore. Be honest with yourself.
I got you. I respect that.
All right.
I appreciate it.
And listen, and keep the lines of communication with her open and be honest with her, too. You know, don't tell her what you think she wants to hear.
Right. I mean, I'm straightforward. I don't be lying to her about nothing like that. I want her to always remember me and love me for being honest with her. You know, it eats me up. This is the first time I've been in this type of situation, so I was, like, kind of just confused, you know?
Right. All right. Well, as long as you're open and honest with everybody and yourself, then I think you got to follow that.
I appreciate it.
All right. Okay. All right. Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Ye now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. I'ma
keep it real with you. Here's some real advice with Angela Ye. It's Ask Ye.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this? Hello?
Yeah, this Cash.
What's up, bro? What's up, your question, Cash? For Yee?
Hey, yeah, I was trying to get up with you guys for like the last week. I wanted to see if you could give me your personal recommendation on how my bar sounds.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, before you get started, what is your rapper name?
Black Cash, B-L-K-C-S-H.
Black Cash. Where are you from, Black Cash?
Orlando. Well, I'm not from Orlando. I'm working out here right now.
Okay, so let's hear it. Let's see what we think.
All right. Let's get these balls off my chest. I'm bench pressing, under pressure, been pressing. So hard to leave impressions. But my profession got me tied up. 12x5s on my time card. It's rough, but I tough through it, knowing these times hard. See, the problem is I'm a spitter like Daffy did it, and I'm loony in my tune, but my sentence is all in rhythm, and I'm flowing them here just in case I ain't get the chance, because him, Tip, and Cardi ain't picked me for season two. Now, I don't know if that's true. I'm just hoping this give me boost to my prepaid dues, no track, metro, or boost, shooting shots, because you miss all the ones that you never take. Choose a spot how you want it. I'm surgical with it. Hey, man, that bar ain't saying nothing, just referencing training. They've been planning this all week, yeah. Strategic is how I aim.
Oh, that's
it? Okay.
Oh, man.
I mean, you cool. It ain't nothing special. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I mean that was nothing special. I mean, but that's, I'm just one person's opinion. I didn't hear nothing that make me be like, yo, you need to pursue your rap career. But, you know, if we in between, you know, if we working, or, you know, we at the house, I'd be like, yo, spit something. But not like, you know.
Maybe we need to hear with a beat under it.
When people say that, bro, that's not good.
Right, and I appreciate that. See, actually, I called y'all maybe about a year ago, and I ain't had no social media, no nothing. And actually, right now, I'm on my live, so I'm recording this because I wanted to document my process. So I get what you're saying, and I appreciate your feedback, but I got a lot of fire with me.
All right. Well, good luck, brother.
I appreciate it, man.
All right, man.
Listen, he just wanted a platform, so we gave it to him this morning.
There you go. Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Ye right now. All right, now, Ye, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, and let's talk about two rappers who were super cool with each other, and they talk about their early days and getting STDs together from sisters.
Wow. All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. All right, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk spectacular.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah, nah, nah,
nah. Well, congratulations to Spectacular. His company, AdWizard, is on the Entrepreneur 360 list for the best privately owned companies in America. It's the second year in a row that he's made that list, and they are saying that his enterprise is worth $74.8 million right now in 2020.
I love that. I love that. Congratulations to that brother.
Drop on the clues bonds for Spectacular. Y'all laugh at him and Pretty Ricky if you want to. Spectacular out here getting that bread.
Yes, he is.
And he's also always trying to teach other people how to do it as well. So. Mm-hmm.
He does. He absolutely does.
All right. Now, Turk talks about some things that happened in the early Cash Money days, and he was on the Off the Porch show, and he talked about him and Lil Wayne being so tight. They were the two youngest members of the Hot Boys. They did everything together. One thing that they did do together was get crabs from sisters in Houston. Here's what he said.
We caught crabs from these two sisters from Houston, and we just got on a tour bus and were itching. So, bam, we went to the, you know, Rite Aid or some Walgreens and bought some lice. And, bam, we got to the hotel, scrub our little hair, little part, you feel me? And, man, on the tower, brother, crab was literally on that motherfucking polka dot. So, I like, damn, so we had to cut pubic part, bam, bam, bam. And we around and gave that to our baby mom at the time. Wayne gave that to Talia. And I gave it to my baby mama.
Crabs is a STD. That's a sexually throwback disease. Crabs is like the payphone of STDs, bro. Like, that's the Michael Jordan
confused,
throwback jersey of STDs.
I'm like, are crabs an STD? But I guess they are, because I always thought a disease is something that's, like, in your bloodstream, and crabs is, like,
well,
on your...
Well, it's sexually transmitted. Well, yeah, I guess you're...
Sexually,
I mean,
throwback
like
disease,
that.
Man. Crabs is the two-way pager of STDs. Beat me 911 of STDs, goddammit. Crabs? That's so old school.
That is so
I couldn't even imagine... I can't even imagine what it looks, what it's like to look down and see things crawling on you. And you know, one of my friends, L'Oreal, used to say, if a guy shaves off all his hair, that means he has crabs. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Nope. Manscaping could just be manscaping. Yeah, so
goodness gracious, L'Oreal.
We should think that way about women who get waxed. That doesn't even make, the logic makes no sense, L'Oreal.
I don't know. All right. Now, Yvonne Orji had to do a sit down interview with Molly from Insecure. Now, y'all know how I feel about Molly. When Yvonne Orji was on The Breakfast Club, I had to let her know about her character.
I thought she was an ally.
I was tired of Molly. I was like...
I thought she was an ally.
I understood you being mad because Issa did some really messed up things in your friendship.
Why you keep saying also, you?
It's not my fault that Issa's name is Issa on Insecure. Okay?
Yvonne, Molly...
I just don't think the appropriate time to ambush somebody about your friendship problems is right after a major event that they just pulled off.
Why are you acting like you're talking to Molly? Relax.
I feel like Angela's about to post up, like, do something that little. I'm nervous right now.
However, I do like Yvonne Orji, and so here is what her interview with Molly sounded like.
No, I like the haircut.
Yeah.
No, I did. I actually had to cut my hair because of you.
Me?
You know, because people were having a hard time differentiating between me and you, and I was like, "What? Snip, snip, snip!" It was very extreme, but I felt like it was necessary.
Wow,
I didn't realize that you had to do so much to differentiate yourself from me. Can you just talk about how you feel about the Molly hate? Because they were hating me, hating you, and I was just like, "Wow, Black Twitter is activated." You know, they had time.
Black Twitter. Is that a group? Is that like the Black Panther?
Also, you weren't checking the Twitter account. They can miss me with all that hate. Okay.
She had to differentiate herself and cut off her hair. People were tagging me like it was my fault. I'm not the only person that couldn't stand Molly this last season of Insecure. So, you know. But that just means you're doing a great job when people can't stand your character and affiliate it with you. Am I right?
Now, if you slap Molly, does Yvonne Orji fight for Molly and vice versa?
Yvonne probably turns back into Yvonne if you slap Molly. Like, what the? Nah, but we would never do that. All right, Kevin Hart did an interview with Deadline, and a lot of things that he talked about, you know, he talked about cancel culture, and he talked about being friends and supporting Ellen DeGeneres and Nick Cannon still, even though they're in the midst of this whole cancel culture. Now, according to Kevin Hart, he said, when you talk about our state of today, we're becoming comfortable with giving this cancel idea and culture the level of attention that we are. We're letting people control and dictate the start and finish of people's lives. And if we are in a time of finding any type of solution to the fight of equality and change, which seems to be a global fight now, a global fight of people being treated fairly, change, understanding, and accepting the past, but preparing for a better future, that means that we can't be in a position where we're contradicting ourselves. So he goes on to talk about his support for Nick and Ellen. He said, well, I don't lose sight of the definition of friendship. And in our business, it's one thing that people don't really hold on to. There's a lot of relationships that are fake, and there's some that are real. In my case, the ones that are real are the ones that I'm always going to be adamant about speaking on behalf of. I know the people that both of them are, and knowing the people, all I can say is my experiences with those people. That's not to take away from what other people are saying that they have had and that they have done. It's just to highlight what I'm saying I know and what I can speak on behalf of.
I mean, there has to be some sort of redemption culture, right? Especially for people who just say stupid things. Or in the case of Ellen, it's because she's labeled mean, right? That's nothing that you shouldn't be able to come back from, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, let's see what happens. You know, I think now you have this behavior that's been called out, and what are you going to do moving forward?
And he's right about the friend thing, too, because just because if somebody's your friend, they don't stop being your friend because social media and the internet is against them for the moment. Like, that is correct. That's not how that works.
Some people will say there's no, you know, I have a lot of loyalty. Some people feel like there's no friends in this business, and it's business, and it is what
it is. Most of the business it is, but I'm sure we all have friends in this industry, but we also have business associates as well that we don't consider friends, but we still do business with them.
And I don't know about Kevin Hart and Ellen, but I mean, Ellen did come to his defense when he needed it. But as far as Kevin Hart and Nick Cannon, y'all forget Kevin Hart used to be on Wildin' Out way back in the day before Kevin Hart was Kevin Hart. You know what I'm saying? So Nick Cannon was the guy that was on putting somebody like Kevin on. So they've known each other for at least 20 years. At least.
I think sometimes people also don't look at celebrities as real people with feelings also. And they just go in and you forget. Like, this is a human being. And, you know, Kevin Hart said, in times like this, I know how dark it gets. I know how lonely it gets, because I know that these are times when people just turn their back on you. So for the ones that you love that are close to your heart, you just want them to have some support when it seems that there's none out there.
And it's not wrong with that.
They don't look at celebrities as human beings, but also they don't understand that, you know, these are real relationships. Like, these are people that you've known for 15, you know, 18 years. It just so happens that a lot of these people are on the come up now. So what you see is the celebrity. You see the finished product, but you didn't see that whole process of people, you know, growing together and evolving together. So it's just like you think it's just some industry friend stuff, but nah, they've known each other for a long time.
And one last thing, I got to remind y'all to make sure that you are registered to vote. All right. We know how important the vote is. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about Storm Over Brooklyn again, the Yusuf Hawkins story. But Spike Lee is in that movie. And in that movie, he's talking about how important it is to get out and vote. That's how we actually got our first black mayor in New York. And I think our only black mayor, David Dinkins, Ed Koch, was in there. He was running for a fourth term. And Spike Lee was like, make sure you vote. That's what we can do. Get out there and vote. And David Dinkins did end up winning. And so make sure you're registered. And Levi's is teaming up with Rock the Vote to help get as many people as possible registered and ready to vote this fall. All you have to do is text Levi's to 788-683. That's how you can get registered and find out key dates and voting how-tos from Rock the Vote. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Revolt, shout out to you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. Shout out to my brother, Fat Joe. Today is Fat Joe's birthday, so let's start the mix off with Fat Joe. Today, Joey Crack turns 50, so let's do it for Fat Joe.
5-0 for Fat Joe. Joe Brook.
He don't want to be 5-0. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Now we got a shout out to Jemele Hill and Carrie Champion for joining us this morning.
That's right. Yes. Make sure you watch Stick to Sports tonight, 10 p.m. On Vice. I love Carrie and Jemele. Carrie, my partner. And it's just interesting that they walked away from, you know, ESPN, because a lot of people can't leave a situation like that. You know, so ESPN's supposed to be like the creme de la creme. Oh, the mothership. You know, once you get the ESPN, you've made it. So to say to yourself, you know what? I don't want to be here no more. I've outgrown this situation. That really does show a different type of belief in yourself. And you see they're both being rewarded for it. So salute to Carrie and Jemele.
All right. Well, yeah, congratulations to them. Check out their show tonight. What time does it come on again?
10 o'clock on Vice TV.
10 o'clock.
And, you know, once again, I got to remind y'all to make sure you are registered to vote. You can text Levi's to 788-683 to get registered. You can find out whatever key dates you need to know. You can find out all the voting how-tos from Rock the Vote. And Levi's is teaming up with them. They want to get as many people as possible registered and ready to vote this fall. And your vote is so important. So make sure you do not neglect your vote. All right?
All right. When we come back, we got the positive note. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do. It's simple. Outgrowing people around you is okay. If you're not losing friends, then you're probably not growing up.
Breakfast Club, bitches! Y'all finished or y'all done?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.